Broadcasting the boisterous part of the fastest game in the world, so strap on your lids and lace them up, Rook. You're listening to the Bar Chirpers Hockey Podcast. Take a lap! Clap it up, boys, clap it up. We had the music this week, and I didn't forget the lyrics to our opening song. That is right, we nailed it. We are the Barn Chirpers. Welcome. Come on in, grab your snacks, kick up your feet, or whatever. Maybe you're driving, so maybe don't do that. But grab your waters, grab your sparkling water, you know, whatever the case, guys and gals. We are the Barn Chirpers. Follow us on the Instagram and the threads at Barn Chirpers Pod. And anywhere on the internet, just search Barn Chirpers Pod and do that thing that we love you to do. Subscribe and all that good stuff. We are going to have a sweater game. We're going to have a little line combo game that I thought of. Maybe this is going to be cool. Maybe it's going to be dumb. We're definitely going to talk about, if you're watching on YouTube, the Mustard Cats a little bit. I got a couple of questions for Justin. He doesn't know what we're talking about because we didn't talk about anything before we came on the air. So let's get this thing rolling. Justin, sweater game. So I kind of want to guess right away without even asking a question because that would be a first.
Yeah. Can I give you this? It's not, this won't give anything away, I don't think, but I'm so excited for this one. This might be one of the most excited I've been for a sweater since Marty. And I'll say this also as a clue. The excitement has nothing to do with the player. Those are your two hits.
Oh, well, that kind of throws me off then. I don't think I'm going to guess first then. I'm going to save that one because I don't want to look like an a-hole. Okay, so my first question, Justin, is your sweater of a player in the Eastern Conference?
It is not. Nope.
Okay, so we got a Western Conference. Okay, Justin, have you talked about this sweater or player recently at all? On the show, in the pod, or on the group chat, anything like that?
I haven't talked about the player, but I have talked about this sweater a lot.
Okay. So final question. It's in the Western Conference. Ooh. Okay. Sweater you've talked about a lot in the Western Conference. That's throwing me a little bit for a loop. Ooh, well, is your sweater in the Pacific Division?
I don't think they are. I can never remember what the Western Divisions. I think they're Central. Let me look. I don't want to say no for sure, but my guess is they're Central Division. Oh, I guess they are Pacific. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I got to go with this one then. Is your sweater a San Jose home teal?
God, I want one so bad. Like, that is a really good guess.
It's not, really.
It's not. I haven't found a place where I can get that yet. So
that's what I thought too, but I have no idea then. I mean, yeah, give it to me.
All right.
Drum roll. Oh, Mangiapane.
Yep.
That is sexy red. I love that. Calgary Flames. Look at that.
It's really, you know, one of my favorite non-Devils sweaters, period. Like, I love the Flame sweaters. They're just top notch. I love the logo. I love the color scheme. I love everything about the design. The
logo is top tier for sure.
I ended up with him because they didn't have very many options in the home red.
You would have got Shango though.
If they had Shango in the home red, I would have gotten Shango for sure. Like, no question.
That makes sense.
I gotta put this on. I'm excited.
Yeah. I'll stall. No, that's a good pick. You know what's. I was thinking, because you just got the Jack Eichel in the reverse retro, and you already have a Seattle, so I really wasn't sure, because you have a Gretz Edmonton, so I was like, I guess I got to go with San Jose, but I wasn't even thinking about Calgary there for that those couple minutes. So, but I do love that that Calgary sweater. So I never would have guessed it. I don't know why it wasn't on my radar, but it's a solid sweater. Shifting gears here a little bit, Justin, I'm wearing my Preds, my Mustard Cat hat here today because, you know, the Mustard Cats are on an 18-game point streak, 16-0-2. They are on a hell of a run. And, Justin, I wanted to bring this up because we talked about the Mustard Cats recently, and I said something along the lines of, like, man, you know, they're in that first wild card spot, but I'm sick of the Mustard Cats, like, limping into the playoffs and then getting eliminated after a few days. Well, you know, and I looked deeper into this. They're in that first wild card spot because the Central Division is so stacked. Mm-hmm. Dallas, Colorado, and Winnipeg just keep beating the crap out of each other and everybody else. And they started off, you know, ahead of where Nashville was. Nashville kind of struggled to start the year off. But looking at it right now, Nashville is only 4 points off of Winnipeg. It's 90-94 right now. Nashville could very easily get into that third spot with about 10 games remaining because Winnipeg has lost the last three.
Yeah, they're limping. Yeah.
It is very, very, very possible that the Nashville Predators get that third spot in the Central. And here's another stat for you. Nashville has 43 wins on the season. That puts them – here's a couple interesting things. They are one, two, three, four, about fifth in the West with 43 wins. So they're fourth in the Central, but they're fifth in the West with 43. And they're just right under the other teams, Vancouver, Dallas, Colorado. So that's an interesting stat. They also are only five wins less than the New York Rangers, who just clinched their playoff spot last night with 48. So these stats are interesting to me because, again, I've looked at that first wild card spot like, oh, man, I mean, the Cats have had it for a while, but I just don't want to see them limp in the playoffs. I think, and I don't want to jinx them, I think it's safe to say that they are not going to limp into the playoffs. And they, bold statement here, they could very well be the upset like the Panthers were last year. Very possible.
The way they're playing, and I think I don't know where the math lines up, but the last loss is somewhere around when the Devils beat them. The Devils won back-to-back games. The only reason I remember the Devils won back-to-back games against Seattle and then Nashville. But even in that Devils game, like, they play a really good style of hockey. And I mean, you look at where they're at. I mean, they beat Vegas last night. I don't know that there's anybody in the West that they don't match up with. I don't think they're an easy out for any of the teams in the West. So, like, I don't think it matters of course you prefer to get the higher seed, but like, if they just hold on to that wild card, I'm with you. I think they easily could be upset special, and it could very likely, we could exactly be looking at, how wild would it be, Panthers Preds in the Cup.
Oh my gosh.
Like, that would be nuts.
It's what's funny when you bring that up, like, in the past, I would have laughed at that, but it's truly a very viable option. Truly. The only bad part about that Central Division matchup is if Nashville overtakes Winnipeg, then they're going to have to face Dallas or Colorado, which are truly the only two teams that I think are juggernauts right now in the West. I know we've praised Vancouver, and I'm still on the Vancouver train, but again, they're unproven. Edmonton, yeah, they have to, until they do it, you know, I'm not going to believe in them. LA. Ugh. I'm never going to believe in LA. Vegas has been on the schneid for the last, like, what month are we in? March. So they've been on the schneid since January. They don't scare me. Dallas and Colorado in the West, though, getting them in that first round would be very tough. But again, I'm just praises to the Mustard Cats for being in it right now. And I said what I said a few weeks ago, but I'm glad to see now that I've looked into it, like they are not limping at all. They are strong. Andrew Burnett has coached them up, and Barry Trotz is one hell of a GM. Got to give it to him as well. Another interesting stat about Nashville. Well, it's Nashville, Colorado. So Nashville traded Jakob Trenin to Colorado. Well, Trenin was on that heater with Nashville. He was a part of, I want to say, 8 or 10 of their, you know, point streaks. And then he goes to Colorado, who is on a 7-0 point streak. So Trenin has been part of teams, and he hasn't lost since February 15th. That's that's amazing. Like
that's nuts.
That's that streak of Trenin to be on winning teams like that. That's crazy. Just absolutely crazy to me. I did mention the New York Rangers did clinch their first place in the Metro Division last night. Of course, or excuse me, they clinched playoff berth. They could still lose the first spot in the Metro, depending on if Carolina continues to be on the heater that they are on. Just real quick on that, I do love to see Kuzi doing so well in Carolina, and Jake Gensel seems to fit in well in that team too. Carolina very well. Freddie Anderson has not lost since he came back, so that is strong for the Carolina Hurricanes. But again, if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, they only know how to get swept. So it's kind of the same thing. Like, I'll believe it when I see it, I guess. And I want to give this question to you, Justin. Last night, my Caps did beat the Detroit Red Wings, and they have that second wild card spot by 2 points right now. And they are only 1 point from Philly in the third spot in the Metro. Just underneath that are your Devils at 76 points. With your Devils have 9 games left to play.
Mm-hmm.
Washington has 2 games in hand. So are you ready to put the nail in the coffin, or do you still think there's a chance that they could get into the wild card spot? They are 3 points off of Detroit for the just under and 5 points from the second wild card spot.
So this is a head versus heart. My head says they've been done. You know what I mean? They've been done. To me, they've been out of playoff conversation since the loss to Calgary just after the All-Star break. Like, to me, that's when it was done. So that's what my head says. My heart says, I'll believe it when they're out, you know. And especially the way they're playing, you know, minus the Arizona game where Kakkonen gets lit up for 3 in the first, and then they hold them scoreless the rest of the game. I mean, if Kakkonen, and I don't put it on Kakkonen, I put it on the defense. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here to answer your question. But they're playing really well, and the offense is coming alive. You know, again, Arizona and Ottawa being the outliers. It's a head and heart. I think my head is right. I think I don't think they make it, but what I want is for them to play hockey, not even good hockey, just hockey. Cause when they play hockey, they just look better. And when they're just out there just running around, it's madness, and they get blown out by the Sens. So to answer your question, the very long way, they're out.
I mean, there is 16, they have 16 points up for grabs. So truly anything could happen in the last couple weeks of the season. Shifting one more time, going over to the West. We talked about them already. The Vegas Golden Knights are in that second wild card spot. Right now, right underneath them, St. Louis 6 points off, Minnesota 9 points off. But Vegas just can't seem to get it together. I'm not a Vegas fan. I did pick them to win the Stanley Cup to repeat this year because I said, hey, prove me wrong. But they're kind of proving it right now. I'm wondering if they're just trying to get to the playoffs and then they'll turn it on then. But you're really kind of riding the line there. I mean, St. Louis, like we've said in the group chat, we can't figure out St. Louis. They seem to go on these little mini heaters, lose a few in a row, and then all of a sudden they're still in playoff contention. Like, they've moved up from seventh in the wild card up to third in the wild card over the last month and a half or so. So it's, I guess my question to you is, do you think Vegas still has enough juice in the tank to flip-flop with the LA Kings, or do you think in both cases St. Louis is just going to overtake that second wild card spot?
I guess it's Vegas, so I'm very they kept proving us wrong last year, so I'm very hesitant to pick against them. I think it's much more likely that Vegas figures it out, surpasses the Kings, and if anybody gets overtaken, it's the Kings by the Blues. But in all reality, the Blues are very similar, at least in the way their season's going, to what I've been watching with New Jersey. Like, they aren't consistent enough, and if you're not consistent enough, you're not going to get there. And they're what, 6 points back of Vegas? Could they? Yeah, I mean, obviously, or they wouldn't even be in this position. I just don't see it happening. I don't think St. Louis has the gas to gain those 6 points, let alone enough to pass either and or both Vegas and LA.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like I said, they go on their little mini heaters, but the other side of that is they lose a few in a row, which doesn't help their chances at all. So, again, there's about some have 10 games left, but about 10 games left of the regular season, so a couple more weeks. So we'll see how things continue to shape up. It is exciting, though, that the wild card and third spot in three out of four of these divisions are up for grabs. So that's fun. A lot of meaningful hockey down the line there. I wanted to ask you, being that you've been number one in our fantasy league pretty much all year, Justin, is there somebody that you are like your biggest pickup in fantasy this year? Do you have somebody or two somebodies that you think were your biggest clutch pickups this year that you managed to maintain first place all year?
So I've brought this guy's name up before, and he's been on the IR. But before he went on the IR, Dakota Johnson was clutch for me. He was huge. And I mean, I picked him up for hits, and so he was getting me hits. But then he started producing, like, as Vancouver was winning, he started producing points as well. So I was like, oh, well, I got to ride this guy. Like, I gotta hold on to him. So for sure him. I think I drafted Lozon, so I don't think he counts. 6K. That's the other one. 6K has been playing out of his mind the last like month, considering Buffalo's season and considering the way he started, just absolutely dreadful. And there was one point this season where he had two shutouts in a row in a week, at like back-to-back starts. And I think he got lit up for like three goals, you know, last week. I think he got totally blown up for like seven goals last week. So like, he kind of screwed me when I was playing you, but those hiccups, other than those hiccups, 6K has been huge. I picked him up, I think month and a half ago, and he's been huge ever since I got him.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say either Wyatt Johnson from Dallas was a solid pickup that I had early in the season, or Patches. Once Patches was close to coming back, I'm going to change my answer. Patches and Patty Kane. I picked both those guys up when they weren't even playing yet. They were just starting to practice, and I picked them up. And Patty Kane has pretty much been a point per game that he's played, and Patches has been clutch. So I find myself with a first round bye again, which, I mean, hey, hasn't been too hard because there's only like two of us playing, you and I. So It really wasn't that hard to come through with that. But anyway, that's the fantasy story for this week. I guess our first segment that we did ever with fantasy. So I came up with this game idea the other day. And essentially, we are going to bring up or say, what am I trying to say? It's a line combination game. So we're going to say who the player. Oh, did you lose me? What happened here?
Mm-hmm. I still hear you. Hello? Yeah, I still hear you.
Oh, okay. I don't know what happened there. My screen just went blank. Okay. Oh. So the game, we're going to name off a line combination. And the other person will just try to guess what team it is. It might be the first line or it might be the second line.
So where we going? We're going by we're going by stats or players.
So the link that I no. Yeah, the players. So you say the jersey number.
Oh, so like, okay. That's even better. Okay.
You know, it doesn't have to go left wing, center, right wing. You can mix up you can mix up the numbers so it wouldn't be obvious. You know what I mean? Like there might be some numbers. Like if I said 97, pretty obvious of what it is, right? So yeah, mix up the jersey number. And the goal here is we're trying to guess what the team is. And if we can guess the team right, yeah, if we can guess if it's the first line or the second line.
All right. So I got you then. All right. So jersey number 18, jersey number 10, and jersey number
63. 18, 10, and 63. That sounds so familiar. 10, 18, and 63. Dang. The 63 stands out to me. It's like
I'll give you some stats. I don't know if this will help, but it will buy you some time for sure. The three of them combined on the year have 63 goals and 81 assists.
Okay. Man, now I'm like drawing a blank. Okay. I'm going to say that it is, I'm going to say it's a Devil's line.
I love your thought process here. For the record, if that was a Devil's line, that would be Jesper Bratt. It would be Andre Palat and Alexander Holtz, who do not currently play on a line together, although I bet you they did at some point this season. It is the top line of the St. Louis Blues, neighbors.
Oh, wow.
Matchbox 20 and Braden Schenn combined for 63 goals and 81 assists. I wanted to look at their lines because they confuse me. So I just wanted to see what their numbers were.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. That was a solid pick. That was a solid one. The 63 stood out to me. That's why I just kept going back to Devils. I was like, that's gotta be Jesper Bratt, dude. Okay, cool. All right. So I got one for you. The numbers are 40, 15, 11.
40, 15, and 11.
And I'll go ahead and give you the same courtesy of some stats. Season stats. Sorry. Okay, season stats. The this line has scored, 36 goals and 28 assists.
40, 15. I'm trying to think of the 15s in the league. Oh, 40, 15. The 40 is the one that's throwing me off. 40, 15, and 11.
I'll, I'll give you another hint because this one is a little difficult, and I want you to get a little bit closer. Anyway, it's an Atlantic Division team.
Okay. 40, 15, and 11. Oh, that's not. Oh, 40, 15, 11. Oh, no. 40. Who the hell wears 40?
That's why I picked this one.
I think there's only one guy,
and it's this guy.
Well, I can think because R40 is as an attendee. I think 40 is Schmidt, actually. I'm just gonna take a shot in the dark. Nope. Atlantic. I was in the wrong division anyway. Oh no. Somebody I haven't seen line. The Habs?
You are correct. It is the Habs. Which line is it?
No way.
Yeah.
Well, it can't be their top line because Caulfield's on the top line. He wears 22. So it's got to be their second line.
That is also correct. It is their second line. Can you name any of the three players on that second line for extra points?
Absolutely not.
Yoel Armia is number 40.
I never would have got that.
Alex Newhook is 15, and Brendan Gallagher wears number 11.
I like this a lot, but I'm better. I'm better at this than like I thought you were proposing stats.
Oh, I mean, we could do that too, and maybe that'll be fun. Let's try that. We're doing it on the fly.
Let's do it on the fly. All right. Well, I've got another one. I got another one then. All right. Based on just stats. Season stats on the season. This line has 39 goals and 91 assists.
31 goals and 91 assists.
39 goals, sorry.
39 goals. And how many assists?
91.
Hmm.
I'll give you two of the numbers because I don't know the third one. Jersey number 18 and jersey number 28.
Man, I have no earthly idea. This is fun. 28. Who wears 28? Oh my gosh. Is it Dallas Stars?
No, sir.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Can I get a division?
Yes. I think they're also an Atlantic Division team. Let me just make sure. Again, I don't know how. As much hockey as I watch, how do I not know divisions? Yeah, they're Atlantic.
Okay. 18 and 28 are two of the numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lightning?
No, sir.
Oh, okay. I don't know what it is then.
A resounding negative 24 for the team. It is the Ottawa Senators' second line of Angus Cruikshank, Timmy Stützle, and Claude Giroux.
Cruikshank, what kind of name is that? That's
I don't know. Wild. He put up two on the Devs last week. So,
all right, interesting. All right, let's do one more here, and then we'll move on from this. All right, so they have scored 71 goals.
Jesus.
And they have, let's see, I got to do some math here. 70, 90, 104 assists.
Wow. Well, we know it can't be Toronto because Mustache has 59 on his own. So we know it's not them. Also seems kind of low to be Colorado. At least their top line anyway. Well, how many goals again?
20, 40, 68, 7, 72.
72 goals.
Assists.
Seems like it might be too low, but is it Colorado's top line?
It is not Colorado's top line. You are on the wrong division. You are on the wrong side of the United States.
Oh, okay. All right.
Eastern Conference. Metro right. Division.
Metro. Is it my New Jersey Devils?
It is your New Jersey Devils, yes.
Is it our, well, let's see, our top, let's see. Timo's at what, 25 now, 26? I don't know which line 20. It is.
Timo has 24.
24. Okay. I think Bradder is at like 28 or something as well. Nico's up in 20. I am not sure which line it is.
Daily Faceoff here has it as the first line. Nico, oh, okay. Nico, Timo, and Jesper.
There you go. So yeah, they've been playing top line. That line's been sick together. Very yeah. Pretty pass from Bradder to Nico last night.
So that was the line game. Maybe we'll keep that. Maybe we'll do some changes to it to make it a little bit more entertaining. So if you listened to that for the last 8 minutes, thanks. Moving on to the end of the show here, we got some. We're gonna pull the goalie here. So Hockey Canada named Rick Nash as their GM for the upcoming IIHF World Championships. I mean, I don't really have much else to say other than like, hey, stick taps to Rick Nash, an absolute beauty in the game of hockey in his day. Like, what a guy. I remember obviously when I was just in Columbus at Nationwide, they have a whole kind of section on Rick Nash because he was a hell of a player. So that's probably good for Canada, considering other things that Canada is not great at. Just leave it at that. another announcement, as we found out last year, that BioSteel went bankrupt. So it's being announced that Body Armor will be the NHL's official hydration partner for 24-25. So I think that's I like this in the sense that, it's not Gatorade, number one. Number two, I like that Body Armor is already a recognizable name. Like, WTF is BioSteel. You know what I mean? Like, what? But Body Armor, hey, that's a great name brand recognition. Also, probably more money than you are ever going to get from BioSteel. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it does feel like, for once, the right decision by the NHL. I was talking to Randy last night, and I forget what it was last night, but it just feels like no matter what they do, the NHL makes the wrong call all the time.
So. Every time. Every single time. You'll enjoy this piece of news, Justin. Jake Allen and Marty Brodeur were teammates in St. Louis 10 years ago. Now they are both reunited by both working for the Devils in different roles. That's pretty cool. Stick taps to that.
That's very cool. I couldn't believe that. I was like, man, that rules. Like, you don't even think about like that kind of overlap, because Marty was there for like a cup of coffee, really.
That's what I was going to say too. I didn't even realize Jake Allen was there first before Binner came in. Yeah. I thought it was the other way around. So that was an interesting stat, story to me too. PWHL Toronto, we know they've been on a heater and owning the PWHL right now. Well, guess what? PWHL Toronto already has a longer win streak than the Toronto Maple Leafs, who've been around since 1917 with 11 wins in a row. It might be 12 or 13 now. This was last Saturday. So that's just funny, too. I love picking on the Maple Leafs because they suck.
Chirp, 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 chirp.
That's what I'm going to do. You know me. Moving on, another story. Hey, listen, this is pretty cool. Josh Doan, the son of Shane Doan, became the fourth father-son duo to both dress for the Coyotes / Jets franchise, following Andrew and Jack McBain, Ty and Max Domi, as well as Bobby and Brett Hull. And Josh Doan got his first and second career NHL goals last night in Mullet Arena. That's a pretty awesome thing to happen. And he's wearing the inverse of his daddy's jersey, number 91. It was a beauty. He basically got a deflection over the goalie's shoulder for his first goal, and then put one away for his second one. So great moment. And hey, something for the Coyotes to look forward to in the future, even though they're probably moving to Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But there was some renderings of the Coyotes proposed, like what their barn would look like. And I don't know if you saw it, Justin, but it looks pretty dope. I'll see if I can find it here while we're talking about it. It's literally just comes down to the fact of like, it's literally going to still be, would be at least 5 years before it could even happen, because like they haven't broke ground yet. They don't even have the land yet. Essentially, I forget what Frank Saravalli had mentioned, but there's a hearing in the middle of April. And if they win the hearing, essentially, then they can own the spot, essentially, of land that they want to have. But then there's still all the permits and whatnot before they could even break ground to start building. So you're telling me there's essentially be 5 more years minimum at Mullet?
Oof.
Like, and I can't seem to find the post that has the arena markup, but it looked pretty cool, is all I'll say. It looked cool. So check it out. just search for it, everybody. Find it. And another thing here, my boy Tom Wilson was suspended 6 games for his high stick to the face the other day. Definitely warranted suspension. Like, at the end of the day, you always have to be in control of your stick no matter what. So it's definitely egregious. Like, there's no reason why his stick should have swung up. I forget who he hit. Doesn't really matter. But he should have got suspended, yes. But let's just remind this year of all the things that have happened and how many games were suspended for. Morgan Riley cross-checks Ridly Gregg in the face and only gets 5. Your boy, whose sweater you're wearing, Mangiapane, cross-checks McCann in the back of the head to the ice and only got 2 games. So really, it's just because Tom Wilson has been suspended in the past. He has a history. But just once again, Department of Player Safety is a joke. It's, yes, he should have definitely been suspended. I'm not saying he shouldn't have. But 6 games? Come on, man. Like, 4? Sure. I can see that. But 6? That's, come on. Come
especially on. Here, going into the playoff push with the Caps very much in it.
It's not even necessarily that, but just because it's literally just because of his history, but he literally hasn't been suspended for 4 years. So I just think it's the whole George Parros and player safety. It's a joke. Literally from the top, Gary Bettman down, just a whole regime change needs to happen for the NHL to grow. That's the stance that I'll stand by forever. On a positive note, let's talk about Nathan Mack, Chuck McKinnon real quick. Justin, first of all, did you watch Sunday the Penguins Colorado game by chance?
I forget why I didn't. There's a reason why I didn't, but I didn't.
Dude, so I tuned in the second period. In the second period, the Pens put up 4 zip on Colorado, okay? And it's about 11 or so minutes left in the second. McKinnon drives down the ice, and we've talked about his speed bursts before. I wasn't there to see it, but literally watching on TV, you could see the speed bursts and how much better and faster Nathan McKinnon is than a lot of guys on the ice. He streaks down the ice and gets a couple dekes in to try to get one in on Nedeljkovic. I forget who it was. It might have been Letang. He did get hit like a minor little tap on the hands, but we've seen this year that that has warranted a penalty shot, right? So that doesn't happen. You know, Nedeljkovic saves it, whistle blows. MacKinnon looks at the ref with just this death stare and, you know, says choice words and then slams his stick against the boards. Literally 2 minutes. I've said literally a lot in the last couple minutes. 2 minutes later, the Colorado's put up two goals. So they go into the third 4-2. They end up winning in overtime 5-4. And on the back of Nathan MacKinnon, and this is what I wanted to say, Nathan MacKinnon is the first player in NHL history to have two point streaks of at least 19 games in one season. Wow. So twice this season, he's had 19 game heaters. And not to mention, he scored in every home game Colorado's have thus far. And if he goes ahead and does score in the remaining seven home games, technically he ties Wayne Gretzky for that record. In Gretzky's time, there was only 80 games played. So Gretzky scored in all 40 of home games. So you can't really say MacKinnon breaks the record because it just wasn't available. So he would tie the record, though. So that's pretty cool for Nathan MacKinnon. And like we talked about, Colorado is dangerous. And Nathan MacKinnon is also dangerous, as we've talked about before.
Mack Truck's the man, dude. He might just will them to the cup by himself. I mean, and that's not to disparage the rest of that team. Colorado Ice is a really quality squad.
Oh yeah.
But if you have MacKinnon playing at his best hockey, it's you know, it's exactly what McDavid should be. You know what I mean? Like, McDavid's dangerous. You know, I'm not taking away anything from him, but MacKinnon's a winner and he's going to drag that team to wins. And that it's nuts what he's doing.
I mean, to that point, literally, he did just that in that game. It was literally that face of Nathan MacKinnon being like, I'm going to murder this entire, you know, hockey game. And he did. Like, he obviously got a point in that game. I think I forget exactly what the stat sheet was, but that from right there was a turning point. And then all of a sudden, Colorado wins it in overtime 5-4. So here's a quick question for you, and you kind of already answered it. Game on the line. Who would you rather have? Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, Sidney Crosby, or Alex Ovechkin? Game on the line.
That's tougher than it sounds, but three of them have shown that they can do it, right? Ovi's definitely slowing down. Sid the Kid's been doing it all season, which, by the way, we need to have a discussion on this show about how dirty Pittsburgh's doing Sid, but more on that in a different episode. Yeah. But I mean, as of right now, currently it's Mac, and not just because we just talked about him, but because he's actively doing what you're talking about in this season. So it's gotta be him.
Yeah. I was already going there anyway. Like, if just watching that, I'm like, okay, yep. Colorado's going to win the cup. Very possible, because he's just like took the team on his back and made it happen. So I will pick that every single time. That's the show this week. I think we're gonna wrap it up here, unless you got something to talk, anything else to put out.
Love my Devils. I did get to see. Actually, there is. Sorry, I'm glad you asked.
Go for it.
Does Steve Levy not watch hockey? Because
I don't know why.
I was watching the first. I had deprogrammed last night, so I didn't get to watch the entirety of Devs Leafs. But in the first period, the Leafs had 22 shots. The Devs only had 8, right? And you know, the whole time it's like, oh, this is all Leafs. This is all Leafs. Okay, fair enough. But at the end of the first period, it's 2-1 New Jersey Devils, and Steve Levy goes, "I can't believe this. It's 2-1 New Jersey. I can't believe this." What do you mean? This happens all the time in the league. I lost count of how many times just in New Jersey Devils games alone where we've outshot the opponent and are losing. What are you talking about, dude? Watch a hockey game for once.
For once, would you? For once.
Drove me nuts, man.
That's funny. I mean, Steve Levy, I think, is one of the best commentators in the game right now. But come on, man, you gotta do you not Do you not have a stat sheet or something like that? You know what I mean? Like, it's weird, man. You know. Anyway, so that was the show this week. You know, listen to us and look on the internet for us and all that good stuff. And you guys know what to do. We'll talk more probably playoff stuff next week because it'll be close to the end of the season. So, you know, check that out. And we'll chirp at you later. Keep your head up. Play to the whistle. Stick taps and sellies, boys. Clap it up. Woo!